What a way to start the service. Thank you so much, Miss Linda. Well, good morning, church. So good to see you this morning. Let's stand. Let's worship together. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's sing together this morning. Oh, let's sing this great hymn together. It's so good to see this morning. How are we doing? Right. Wonderful. We couldn't hear you online, but I'm sure you said the same thing as well. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for visiting with us this morning. You're our honored guest. We have a QR code on the pew in front of you and also on our screen. Please ask you to stand there with your smart device. You fill out a little information, we get to know you a little better. And at the end of the service, we have a special gift for you out at our welcome center. If you want to extend a special welcome to those watching online, let's worship together because we believe in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that He is our strength, He is our shield, He is our guide this morning, church, our defender of the weak. Let's sing together. Come on, here we go.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not fade, you won't grow weary. You're the
somebody around you this morning and tell them how happy you are to see them. Great to know that He is our strength this morning, church.
Amen.
Amen. As we continue in worship, let's remember how great He is. Let's sing this great hymn together. Be thou my vision.
Be thou my vision. Sleep. light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you
Amen. And then you may be seated. Praise God. What a powerful message and song. We are so grateful that you're here today and so grateful for folks that are watching online. I know we have a lot of folks out for fall break today, and we pray for their traveling mercies. And maybe they're worshiping with us on the beach or in Disney World or Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge, wherever they may be. Hope you're having a great time, but I'm grateful that you're here today. And there are some of you here today in need of a miracle. Some of you are here today and you feel like there's no way you can get through what you're going through. But know that God is a miracle worker and He is a way maker. He's a promise keeper and He never stops working. I believe He does work even when we can't see Him and even when we can't feel Him. His Spirit is moving in our midst. He's moving here this morning. I feel His presence in this place. I'm so grateful. We believe in the power of prayer. Maybe you're here today and you want to come tap into that power, into that life-transforming Spirit, and give Him your all, your heart, your mind, your stress, your worry, your fear, your sickness, your pain, your addiction, your depression, your loneliness, your guilt, your temptations, whatever you're facing today. Would you be willing to give them over to the Lord? Say, I need you, Lord. I believe that you're in control, and I'm praying for a miracle this day. And I invite you, if you're in this place, if you feel led to come kneel at this altar, you can stand or you can stand from your seat. I invite you to come join me as we lift up our prayers together. Would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. Father, we come to you with grateful hearts. We come to you with broken hearts. We come to you with hearts of gratitude. We come to you with hearts of pain and suffering. Father, we come to you with blessings beyond measure. And we come to you with our grief and our sorrow. But God, we know that whatever season we're going through right now, we know that you are at work. Lord, I pray for folks gathered at this altar, others praying from their seats or worshiping with us online. You know what we need even before we ask. But Lord, I'm praying right now in the strong name of Jesus for a miracle to take place. Father, we believe that all things are possible for those who believe. We believe you are the great healer and the great physician. And I pray right now that by your wounds, with your stripes, we are healed in every way. We claim that victory today, God. You're working even as we speak, even as we pray. May your healing power be received. Make a way, miracle worker, we pray. Father, we pray for families hurting today, grieving. Lord, I pray for Shirley and Ronnie Lewis and the loss of Shirley's mother. Would you comfort them, strengthen them in their loss? I pray for Gwen and Rick Cobb and the loss of Gwen's dad, that you would comfort them and their grief. Strengthen them, I pray. Give them peace. Father, we pray for folks that are heavy on our hearts in the hospital. Father, we pray for Steve LeCount, that you would bring a miracle of healing in his body. And pray you would be with Sabrina. Father, we pray for Larry DeMeritt, that you would bring healing and remove this fluid from around his heart. Father, bring healing to him. Father, we pray for families that need healing. We pray for marriages that need healing. We pray for finances that need to be healed. We pray, oh God, for restoration, Father, among friendships. We pray, oh God, for revival in our country. We need you, Lord. Our country needs you. And I pray, God, that we would repent from our worldly ways and turn back to our only hope, which is in Jesus Christ. Be with all of our leaders. Give them wisdom and discernment to seek your perfect will and your guidance. Father, I pray that there's some folks here battling some form of addiction. Break the chains right now, God. I pray that you would remove that addiction of alcohol. Remove the addiction to drugs. Remove the addiction to pornography. Remove the addiction to gambling. Remove the addiction to the eating disorder. Remove the addiction of cutting oneself. Remove the addiction of these negative, critical thoughts. And bring healing, God. Complete healing. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move in this church. And that, Father, you would continue to bring spiritual awakening and renewal. And I pray, God, that you would forgive me and forgive us of any sin that would hinder your Spirit from moving freely in this place. And Father, we're just going to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for the victories we trust you to bring. We ask now that your Holy Spirit would continue to sing and play through our musicians and instrumentalists. And God, you would speak through your word and through your servant. And Father, we're just going to thank you and praise you for your great faithfulness and for the miracles you're going to bring this day. For we claim it by faith in the strong and holy and powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? And as you're doing that, I'm grateful that our choir will be coming to lead us after the reading of God's word. And would you hear them prayerfully as they come? These may be familiar words to some of you, maybe new to others, but they're always pertinent and applicable to our daily lives. Begin with verse 29 of Ephesians 4. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you all. What a beautiful song and great message of hope. I'm so grateful that you're here today, and we welcome you. We welcome the Holy Spirit in this place. I always like to share a little humor to get started, and I had one of my brothers to call me yesterday and said, Todd, we had something to happen last night. I said, what's going on? I said, somebody broke into our house. And I said, what? He said, yeah, while we were sleeping, someone broke in. He said, but it was really odd. So they didn't take anything except all of the fruit in the house. I said, what? He said, yeah, we're totally peachless. I wonder which brother did that. Tim. Tim. Through the years, we've had many people to come through these doors, guests, and there's been a reoccurring theme. We've heard folks say so many encouraging words. They've said things like, I feel an excitement when I come through these doors. Others have described, I feel an energy when I walk through these doors. Others have said, I feel a warmth. Others have said, I feel something, but I can't really put into words. I can't really express. And you know what I've said to these people? What you feel is the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Lord is in this place. And you've heard me share through the years, the sweetest, greatest, best compliment that anyone could ever give to me is that we feel the Holy Spirit in this church. That's greater than anything else I could hear you say, that the Holy Spirit is here among us. And it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit would continue to lead this church. The Spirit of God is welcome in this place. I pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to lead us, that the Holy Spirit would continue to convict us, that the Holy Spirit would continue to change us, that the Holy Spirit would continue to lead us to Jesus Christ, where we might find salvation through faith and trust in Him. That's my prayer for our church. But in our scripture passage today, we see Paul writing the church at Ephesus, not to address really any particular problem, but he's writing, if you will, to encourage the church to live out the eternal purposes and high goals that God has set for His church. He shares how in Christ we are given a new pure life in contrast to the old way of life without Christ. And I'd be willing to say that some folks here today or people watching are having a tug of war right now. There's spiritual warfare going on because some of you are here and you're being tempted to revert back to your old ways. You're being tempted to go back to the way you used to talk. You're being tempted to go back to the way you used to live. That you are tempted to go back and live out that lifestyle that you know is not God-honoring and pleasing to the Lord. And if that would be you today, I want to give you some encouragement. More importantly, through God's Word, Paul gives some practical and applicable words to help us be our best in Christ. And these are reminders. I had some folks after the early service today and said, you were talking to me. You were talking directly to me. And again, you've heard me say, when you feel that way, it's the Holy Spirit. And your spouse told me. But anyway, I'm kidding you. It's the Holy Spirit. Your spouse didn't say a word. But I'm so grateful today that these words are so, again, applicable to all of our lives, especially if you're wanting to grow in the faith and you're wanting to be the Christian God would have you to be, or if you don't know Him. I pray that you will come to know him before this service is over. But in verse 29, Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." This first point is to think before you speak. Think before you speak. Some translations say, "Do not let any corrupt talk." The Greek word for this is sapros, which means bad, evil, corrupt. It means rotten. It means decayed. It's the same word that's used for a dead and decaying animal. He says, "Do not let any of these words," foul language stinks up the air. So does critical words, negative words, slanderous words. This type of talk stinks up the environment around us. And there's no place in the life of a Christian that we have these kind of words. And I pray today that we would think first before we speak. And if we do speak, may they be encouraging words that will build up people according to their needs and may benefit those who listen. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing." We know in Proverbs 16:24 that pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And then we read in Proverbs 18:21 that the tongue has the power to give life and death. So in other words, we're either building people up. And let me ask you this. Are you the type of person that builds people up or you tear people down? Are you the type of person that says good about someone or you go directly to the bad? Are you saying judgmental words? Or are you saying positive and encouraging words? I think if we would all be honest, there is a tendency in us to look for the bad before we look for the good. And sometimes we can't see the good because of all the bad that we have in our heart and in our mind. But it's my prayer that we would think first before we speak. Y'all have heard me share this story through the years. I've shared this in pre-marriage counseling appointments. I've said this even in wedding ceremonies that years ago there was a young couple that got married. The wife went out with some of her friends. The husband thought he would do something nice, so he cleaned the house. He cleaned the kitchen, except he left the rag that he had cleaned the kitchen with, the dirty rag, on the counter. When his wife got home, when you know, the first thing she said is, "What's this dirty rag doing on the counter?" And he said, "The dirty rag? Did you see that I cleaned the house and I cleaned the kitchen? And all you can say is, who put this, who left this dirty rag on?" He goes, "Let me tell you something. That's the last time I'm going to clean the kitchen, clean that. You can do it from now on. Because I tried to do something nice and all you did is you saw the dirty rag." How many of us are guilty of that? And so in this article that I had read, it said we need to think before we speak. We need to thank God for the good and to thank that person for the good they've done and then tell them. Think, thank, and tell. And that's easy for us to do if we would only try to do that. I want to share that recently I received a call from someone, and it didn't take but a few seconds before I could hear the tone in their voice. They were really down and discouraged. And before the conversation was over, you know what they said to me, their exact words? "Brother Todd, encourage me, please. I need encouragement." And I began to share words of encouragement with this person. I would pray with them, and afterward, they thanked me. They were emotional and said, I feel so much better. I've been so down and depressed because of what I'm going through. And I just needed some words of encouragement. And I said, well, I pray that you'll feel better. We all feel better, don't we, when we get words of encouragement. We need to think first before we speak. Also, this past week on Friday, we had funeral service here. And I don't know if you noticed as you were driving in today, if you came in from this side on Duckers Road, they resurfaced the road. It's a nice, smooth ride. You see how nice it is? But on Friday, when I was coming over to do this funeral service, I thought, oh, no, there's a funeral here, and they're blocking traffic, one-lane road. But it's so nice. It'll look nice and everything. And so after the service, I was going down the road, and there was a flagman, a guy there stopping traffic, and rolled down the window. I said, how are you today? I was, I'm doing okay. I'm not getting cursed out. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, man, there's so many people that are so furious that they're having to stop and wait on. We're just trying to make this road nice. I said, well, look, I appreciate what you guys are doing. The road looks great, and I'm so grateful for the work you're doing. And he said, you're the pastor at that church down the road, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. And I said, and I really appreciate it. So then he called his buddy on the walkie-talkie to see if it was clear for me to go down to 421. So he did that. He called his buddy's name. I'd already seen him. That's probably bothering some of you all. But I had seen him when I came. There was a guy I went to high school with. So I already knew the guy on the other end, but he was calling to, is it clear for a car to come down? You know, so they cleared me to go on down to the road. And so when I got down the other end, there was a guy there, and I called him by name. He goes, you doing all right? I said, I'm good. You doing all right? He goes, well, I don't know, man. People get pretty impatient. He said, minister at the church down there said he had a funeral to get to, was getting impatient. And I said, I'm the minister of that church down there. He said, well, must have been one of your ministers then, so. He said, so somebody was getting impatient. I said, well, I'm sorry. We appreciate, and yes, we had a funeral at church, so I'm sorry if anybody was not nice. I'm sure these guys were, but anyway, the fact is, we're not to let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Parents, what kind of talk do you have in front of your children? Children, what kind of talk do you have in front of your peers or your teammates or your classmates? I remember years ago my son saying he didn't want to go to FCA because the officers of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at that time were using profanity in the halls and in the locker room, and yet going in and preaching the gospel when it was time for FCA. What kind of message does it send when we're saying one thing, but we're living another way? We've got to be authentic. We're human. And I believe when we're stressed, when we're tired, sometimes things get magnified and heightened to where we're short-fused and ready to say or do something that we regret. We must think before we speak. Secondly, we need to trash old ways. In verse 30, Paul said, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So we must not grieve. Did you get this? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a person. It's a he. When we talk unwholesome, corrupt, dirty, evil thoughts, words, then it grieves the Holy Spirit. Just as our parents and some of your parents currently try to guide us and give us advice and direction and wisdom, but yet we thought we knew best and we did it our way, and as a result, we messed up royally and we hurt them because we ignored their words. That's what happens when we ignore the Holy Spirit's leadership and prompting in our lives. We know what's best. We don't need you. And we talk, act, and live like the world when we're supposed to be following Christ. And as a result, it hurts him. It grieves the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. I never want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I never wanted to grieve and disappoint my mom and dad, but how much more do I not want to grieve the Holy Spirit and my Heavenly Father? And I pray today that we would trash those old ways. He says, get rid of all bitterness. Bitterness is long-standing resentment. Do you have long-standing resentment and bitterness towards someone? Maybe it's because of someone who hurt you, someone who left you. Maybe it's because you lost that job. Maybe it's because someone else had success and you did not. Maybe it's because of something that happened and you built up resentment. And the devil is causing you to have that bitterness inside of you. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. This is long-lived anger or burst of a temper that comes out and makes you say and do something you shouldn't. In James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, he said, you should take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So we need to be careful that we are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We're to get rid of bitterness and to get rid of rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. I've shared through the years Proverbs 15:1, that we are to, a soft word turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We read Proverbs 4:30 that a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. So we know that we must trash old ways. We get rid of those things that we know are not producing the Spirit in our lives. We replace those things with the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Are those old ways creeping back up in your life? Are those old habits starting to present themselves more and more? And people say, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were changed. I thought you didn't do that anymore. What kind of example are we showing a lost world about how Christians live, how Christians talk, how Christians walk? We are to be changed. My son and I had the joy of going to the UK game yesterday. Sorry, Sean and Kelly. They're from Florida. But we had the joy of going. I mean, it was beautiful weather. I mean, I fried my tater up here. But we had fun as we went to the game. There was an electric atmosphere. I mean, it was just fun, beautiful day, and a lot of fun. Well, during the game, and we were setting up in the cheap seats, and during the game, there was some Florida fans around us. There was some orange, you know, and then we had the blue and white, but there was a mix of them. There were some young guys, looked to be some fraternity boys, I guess, there, and with alcohol being sold in the stadium, now people were even more juiced up. And they were going back and forth with some words. Well, this one, I'm sorry to say, Kentucky fan just would not let up. He was talking to somebody a couple rows in front of him and thought they were going to come to a brawl. And then he was talking over here with a couple of Florida guys on the same row. Well, he was doing like this, you stink, and you all need to move on down. And then he was saying some other choice words and was just going on and on. So I guess finally, I mean, it was going on, and I was like, I mean, it's one thing to have, you know, just some fun bantering going back and forth or, you know, yelling blue, white or, you know, this, all this stuff. But he just would not let up. He just kept going. And my son and I were getting kind of uncovered. Like, you know, I didn't want to get in the Bible. I was just going to say, man, you might want to ease up. You know, look at the scoreboard. Let your playing do the talking. You don't have to run your mouth when you're winning like that. And so he would not. So next thing you know, somebody must have called the police. So here they come. They were counting up, and they were looking. I said, look, I said, and they found our row, or actually the row down in front. I said, I bet you they're coming. Sure enough, they came and got up right nose in a guy's face. I didn't hear the exchange, but they escorted the guy out. And it was the wrong guy. He wasn't even the one. And when they left, the guy that was doing all the talking waved at the Florida, I'm still here. And I didn't want to say, you got the wrong guy. But I wonder if that guy was a Christian. I wonder what kind of example he was setting. I was embarrassed as a Kentucky fan that someone was acting that crazy. And how many of us act that way and even worse? Not only at a ball game, but maybe in our own home or in our workplace. And we're not setting a good example as a follower of Christ. We need to think before we speak. We need to trash old ways. And then we need to take on the attitude of Jesus Christ. In verse 32, he said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as in Christ God forgave you. Did you hear that? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as in Christ God forgave you. And I forgot to tell you that the point when it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God from whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. A seal denotes ownership. We've been given a down payment when God sent us the Holy Spirit to be with us until he returns to get us. So we have the Holy Spirit that helps us to be kind and compassionate, forgiving one another just as in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, Paul said, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And so we know that he loves us, and as a result, we are to show that love to others. Philippians 2, 5, Paul said, your attitude should be the very same as that of Christ Jesus. Would you say right now that you have the attitude of Jesus? Would your family say that you have the attitude of Jesus? Would your classmates and teammates say they've got the attitude of Jesus? Or would we be embarrassed about the way we're living and the way we're talking? I'm about to close, but one of the greatest challenges as followers of Christ is forgiving others when they've hurt us and wronged us. Would you all not agree that's one of the hardest things to do when people, that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, words will never hurt me. Whoever said that didn't know what they were talking about. Sometimes I'd rather be pinched than get hit with some hurtful words, because they run deep and they hurt and they hurt and they hurt. Forgiving one another just as in Christ God forgave you. I'm so grateful for God's forgiveness, aren't you? And because of His forgiveness, we're supposed to forgive others. You say, well, they never said they were sorry. Well, what about those that put Jesus on the cross? And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We're supposed to forgive even when they knew exactly what they were doing, and even when they did not. We are to forgive. Because what happens is, I told you what unforgiveness is like, you and me drinking cyanide and expecting someone else to die from it. I'm drinking poison expecting the other person to suffer. That's what unforgiveness is. And today, we have to all pray with the help and power of the Holy Spirit is to forgive people, because what happens is it will ultimately destroy your life if you don't let go and forgive those who have hurt you. I close with this story. Several years ago, I read a book called Truly Free by Robert Morris. He is an author and pastor of Gateway Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he wrote in this book how we can be truly free. I did a sermon series out of that book and out of God's Word, and he shared a story at the height of when their church was growing and they had become nationally known, internationally known, and he was writing books. He was constantly doing speaking engagements. But he said at that time his daughter was between the ages of 13 and 15. And he said because he was so busy growing God's church and so busy writing books and all these speaking engagements, he neglected to spend time with his daughter. As a result, his daughter rebelled against him. She rebelled against the church, and she rebelled against God and began to live a sinful lifestyle. And her own exact words were, "The church stole my dad from me." Robert Morris said he was devastated as he watched his daughter spiral downward in sinful living. So he went to her one day and he said, "Sugar," when she was 18, he said, "Sugar, I just want you to know how sorry your daddy is for neglecting you. Your bitterness is justified because I did not spend as much time with you as I should have. Would you please forgive me? Because if you hold on to this bitterness, then you will destroy yourself if you do not repent and turn away from it." They both began to weep. She cried, he cried. She told her daddy that she forgave him. And at that moment, she said, "I repent of my sins." And at the writing of this book, she was in her mid-20s and said she repented and became a conference speaker, sharing her testimony and her faith in Christ and helping others who have had issue of unforgiveness and bitterness in their heart and life. Praise God for the victory God brought. Some of you are here today and you need to release the offender. You need to let go of that bitterness and that long-standing resentment and say, "Lord, I give them, I give it over to you, because it's killing me. It's destroying me. It's destroying my family. And I release it, Lord, unto you." Watch what God will do when you get that weight and burden off your shoulders and out of your heart. He'll begin to heal you from the inside out and help you. Do you know Christ today? If you don't, it would be my joy to pray with you. If we're going to live for Him, then we must know Him intimately, personally. It would be my joy to pray with you a prayer so you can begin this journey. Maybe you're a Christian, you've been reverting back to your old ways. Your children, your co-workers hear you talk all week long, but yet they know you come to church on Sunday. Let's pray and say, God, help me to be the man, the woman, the young person, the student, the teammate, the follower that you want me to be, that people know all throughout the week whose team I'm on. Or maybe you've been looking for a church. I love this church. I love you all. God has blessed us. We are not perfect. I'm not perfect. I shared Wednesday night. I confess, my wife is not a yes woman. She doesn't tell me always what I want to hear. She tells me what I need to hear. And she holds me accountable. And she called me out this past week, and it convicted my heart. I'm human, but sometimes I fail. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus, there's no fault in Him. But I pray today that if you would like to come, and it would be my joy to pray with you, to give your life to Christ, to renew your vow of commitment, to join a church family, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that as we pray together. May we pray. Lord, I pray right now in the stillness of this moment that if there are anyone here today, men, women, young people, children that have never given their life to Jesus, may this be the day of salvation for someone, that someone would confess their sins, ask for forgiveness, and invite you to come into their heart to begin this eternal journey. Lord, maybe there's some Christians that have gotten off track and they're talking like the world and living like the world. And Lord, we're not being a good witness. I pray today, God, you would cleanse our hearts, cleanse our minds, cleanse our tongues and vocabulary and our actions, that we would be a pure and holy vessel, and that people would see you in us. Father, I pray for folks looking for a church home. This is a field hospital for the sin, sick, and hurting. We're all fellow strugglers. We're all doing our best. We drop the ball sometimes. We get out of bounds sometimes. We get hurt in the game. But I'm so grateful, Lord, that you dust us off and you bring solace and healing to us, and you put us back in the game called life. So lead us, oh God, right now to come just as we are. We don't have to get cleaned up first. We just come to you like we are, and then you begin the process of cleansing us and purifying us. Give us that boldness to do what we need to do. In the strong name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand and come as we sing this song of commitment. It'd be my privilege to pray with you about your decision.
Sing this together.
Come just as you love.
Just for a moment, I'm so excited to introduce to you these that are coming today to join this family of faith. First, I'm going to invite Wayne and Jill Swart and Heather and Jillian Case to come up beside me. If you all would come up here and stand by me. And I know you all have seen this family here for quite some time, and had the joy this past week of meeting with Wayne and to just share about a little of their journey and about what God's doing here. We welcome you all. And so thankful God has led you here. And today they want to unite with this family of faith coming from another church home. And we know that God has led you here. And you've heard me say we're not perfect church, but we do serve a perfect God. And I know you want to pledge your love and prayers and support to this family by letting it be known by saying amen, amen, and applause. We welcome you all. And after the service, if you all would just join me out in the foyer in front of that round table so people could welcome you into this family of faith. I'll let you be seated right now. And then so grateful today for Trista Chapman, if you would come up beside me. And so grateful today that Trista comes uniting with this church family and said she has felt revived and renewed and wants to be a part of this family of faith. We welcome you and thank the Lord for leading you here. We want to pledge our love and prayers and support to you by letting it be known by saying amen, amen, and prayers. We welcome you. And would you mind to join us out in the foyer so people could welcome you? But you may be seated right now. And what a great day this is. And I want to thank you, church, for allowing the Holy Spirit to be here. He lives in us. And so if we didn't let him have his way in us, then he wouldn't be working in here. So I'm grateful for his leadership and his presence. Please know if you're a guest, we invite you to come back and worship with us again. Go by the Welcome Center and get you a free gift, a small token of our love and appreciation for being here. Hope you'll join us tonight. We have our small groups, our children meet, our youth meet. There's something for everyone. That's at 6 o'clock tonight. We'd invite you to come be a part of the great things God doing. Then our Wednesday nights keep growing. Not only do we have great food at 5, catered by Family Affair, we have a great prayer service and worship here at 6. If you can't make the meal, make it at prayer meeting. We've been having great prayer service. I believe that's why God's blessing so much on Sunday, because the prayers are so great on Wednesday and throughout the week. But thank you for worshiping here. One more announcement. Just a little over a month away is Operation Christmas Child Packing Party, where we pack the shoeboxes for children in third world countries that otherwise wouldn't have Christmas. We invite you to bring items. You'll find a list on the Welcome Center as well as online. You can go to our website. We still need items to fill these boxes. If you would be willing, there's a drop-off place. There's a box outside the Welcome Center. There's one downstairs, a Rubbermaid container. Just drop those items in there. Thank you for being here today. I'm going to invite everyone to stand right now. What a great day it is to be in the house of the Lord. Sean, if you would, lead some prayer. I think you had an announcement.
One last announcement for you. We have Christmas of the Forks. It's our Christmas worship experience coming up in December. And we're looking to, we're using an orchestra for that. And so if you play any instrument at any skill level, strings, woodwinds, brass, percussion, any instrument, please come and see me in the foyer before you leave. We're trying to figure out who all we have in-house. We had some of you already come and approach me about that. But we want you to be a part of it. We want as many of our members here at the church to be a part of this orchestra. And it's going to be a great experience. Choir's been preparing for it. So if you're interested in that, please see me out in the foyer as soon as we finish. Let's sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus to close our service this morning.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often
place. May we be challenged, inspired to live a life that's holy and pleasing to you, and that we would be a blessing to others by giving them encouragement, by building them up, by sharing the positive message of hope that we have in Christ. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.